So my name is Steve, and I'm one of the pastors here at the Rio Church, and we are in a series right now. It's called High Calling Discipleship. Basically, the idea is that Jesus calls us to be his disciples or his followers. What he calls us into is kind of a high calling. It's a lot of stuff that's different than how we might normally think or live. And in this series, what we want to do is we want to look at what that discipleship looks like in day-to-day life. Like, how do we live this out? How do you live this out at work? How do you live it out in your marriage or in your parenting or within our church family? And so this is what we're looking at. And man, I think there are a lot of really good teachings that are really helpful, not just in our knowledge, but in changing the way that we live, changing our life so we're really experiencing life from God. So just a quick review. The first week we talked about how Jesus said that you need to take the log out of your own eye. And you know how easy that is for us to, especially like in marriage, we look at the other person, we're like, oh man, this marriage would be a lot better if you would just fix your problems. And then the other person's thinking the same thing. They're pointing the finger at the other one. And it's a lot easier to work on our own problems than the other. And Jesus says, you know, take the log out of your own eye first, and then you can maybe worry about the other person if you ever get to the point that you're ready to do that. So that's what we looked at the first week. And then the second week, we talked about how Jesus shared the story right at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. He talked about how you can build your house on the sand or you can build the house on the rock. Obviously, the house built on the sand gets destroyed when the trials come. The house built on the rock is able to stand strong through the rain and the beating and the water. And the catch with that, I think the hard thing to remember on that is the song throws us off a little bit. The children's song says, so build your house on the Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus gave the illustration, he actually said something a little bit different. He said, to put these things into practice. The person who hears the teachings of Jesus and puts them into practice is the one who's built their house on the rock. And so it's important as we go through this series to really think about how do we apply these things in day-to-day life. So last week, Dove spoke. Yeah, what would represent that pretty well? Boom, baby. Right there. Bowling will never be the same for any of us. So he shared the example of somebody in college who hit him on the leg with a bowling pin. And you're welcome to feel how heavy that is later on, but that would not feel good. And wow, that was a really powerful illustration. Not only could we understand why he got angry, but I got angry myself. You know, like let's find this guy. Let's beat him up. Let's take him out. Let's take his house. Let's do something. And man, what a powerful, powerful thing. And for me, kind of the takeaway was not just, oh, so don't be angry. I think that's kind of the very beginning of it. That's the snipping the bad fruit. But the point is we have to get to the heart. We have to get to the root of what causes that anger. And so that's what we looked at last week. Today we're going to talk about forgiveness. And I think that's a good follow-up to anger. And these things are things that relate to our real life, right? We can relate to anger in our marriages. We can relate to anger in our parenting and in our workplaces and in our driving, you know, all kinds of different places. And forgiveness, oh man, same way. There's just so many different offenses that we have that we need to forgive. And today, at least starting off, what I want to do is I want to think about kind of the small to medium offenses, okay? Because I know that some people have some really big hurts. And I don't even want to think about those yet because they're just too hard for people to think about. We'll talk about those a little bit later on. But let's start off just thinking about kind of the more daily stuff that we have to forgive and work through. So let's pray and we'll jump into it here. Jesus, just thank you that you did go to the cross for us and pay for our sins, just like that video we watched. Thank you that there is life in following you. You call us into a new life, into a new kingdom, a new way of living. I pray, God, you'd help us to really to be able to experience that, to, as your disciples, to follow you, not just as our Savior, but as our Master, as our leader, as our King. And it wouldn't just be something that we do and that we think about at church or when we're reading our Bible or something, but we'd be able to follow you in the day-to-day. And so we ask that you would help us in that. Pray for even this morning that you would continue to enlighten us and help us to understand what it is you've called us into. Help us to have the power and the strength to follow you into things that are really hard for us. And so we pray that you would just bless here this morning, that we would hear from you, that your spirit would be at work in each of our hearts. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. So, Jesus' teaching was to forgive. Not just to forgive, but to forgive and to forgive and to forgive and to keep forgiving. And we'll look at what he said here in Matthew 18. Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times?" Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times." So let's think about Peter here a little bit. A lot of times when people ask a question, there's kind of a question behind the question. And I think Peter's question behind the question is really interesting. What he's doing is he's thinking about forgiveness, and he realizes that the Jesus followers live differently than everybody else. He's realizing that everybody else has a standard, and that Jesus probably has a different standard, a higher standard, something that he wants his disciples to walk into. And I'm no expert in this, but just in a quick study, I found that back in that day, supposedly, like, to forgive somebody three times was like a really big deal. Like, that was a good level of forgiveness. Not just once, but three times. And so I think what happened is Peter's thinking through this. He's like, oh, I wonder about forgiveness. You know, Jesus calls us to live differently. And so he's probably not going to say that I should forgive somebody three times. He's probably going to say something that's a higher standard than that. And so he says, Jesus, how many times should I forgive somebody? Like, he doubles it. Like, seven times? He wasn't very good at math. And Jesus says, no, Peter. And Jesus got a smile on his face and he kind of smirked. Doesn't actually say that, but that's how I imagine it anyway. Jesus says, you know, Peter, if somebody sins against you and they come back and try to get it right, you know, you should forgive them those seven times. And then if they ask for more forgiveness, you should forgive them again and again and again. And then after that, if they keep offending you and doing things that are wrong, you should forgive them again and again and again and again and again and again and again. Yeah, I'm really going to do this. And then you should forgive them again and again and again and again and again. And then after that, you can forgive them again and again and again and again and again and again and again. And again, and again, and again, and again, and again, and again. And then, again, and 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 again. And again, 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 and again. And then again, and again, and again, and again. And again, if they're really sorry, you should probably forgive them another time. And again, and again. Again, again, again. Only after forgiving them that many times would you ever have to forgive them again and again and again and again and again and again. And then maybe one more time after that, and another one, and another one, and another one, and another one. And then forgive them again, forgive them one more time. Wow, that's crazy. Well, that's really all we have time for this morning, so if we get the band to come back up. No, that's crazy when you see it like that, right? It's like, that's unreasonable. You got to be kidding me, Jesus. I don't want to do that. That's a lot of forgiveness. And yet, that's what Jesus called them into. Peter understands Jesus is going to call them into something that's radical. And he guesses what radical is. Radical is probably like seven. And Jesus is like, no, but that's not radical. 77's radical. I'm calling you into a completely different way of life. And it's not just with forgiveness, but in all kinds of different things, right? Jesus calls us to be different, to live differently, to think differently, to love differently. And it's not because we're trying to be better than everybody else. It's just we're changed. And we're trying to be better than we were. Different than how we used to be. And hopefully over time, that changes our whole lives. It affects us in all kinds of different ways. And so one of the things I think we can take from this is just that we need to embrace an attitude of forgiveness. Embrace an attitude of forgiveness. At least for the common things, again, we'll start there. Those normal, small to medium offenses. We'll get to the other ones in a second. But man, that's really difficult to do. Jesus is calling us into a level of forgiveness that's very high, and it's ongoing, and it seems like it just never, ever ends. And I think that's extreme, but I also think we need that extreme level of forgiveness to be able to enjoy the kind of relationships that we want. Think about how often people wish that they had kind of a best friend or a group of friends that they could run around with and hang out with all the time. Do you know what it would take to have that? A lot of forgiveness. You know, if you want to be like friends with somebody for 10, 20, 30 years, there are going to be some offenses in there. I probably should admit this, I love to read like Ann Landers or Dear Abby. It's kind of an old people's thing, but I've been doing it since I was a kid. And it's just so often, you know, oh, yeah, we've been friends for 30 years, but she did this. That's just going to happen, though, over a long period of time. These little offenses are going to build up. I heard an example one time that each offense is kind of like putting a marble like on a bird. If you could put a marble on a bird, it's like, okay, yeah, I can handle one offense, but put two marbles on, and now they have two offenses, and then three, then four, then five, and you know, pretty soon it's pretty debilitating for the bird. Like, they can't fly anymore. It's like their whole life is messed up, and I think that's the way relationships are. So it's that way in our friendships, it's that way at church. It's really easy for people to come to church for 2 years, 3 years, but over time, you know what happens? It's not just that someone gets offended, but they get offended like the time that the straw that broke the camel's back. You know, it starts off, you know, oh, you know, the pastor walked right by me and he didn't even say hi, or I don't even think he knows my name, or somebody else saw me. I drove right past him. We were right next to each other, and I waved and honked, and they didn't even look at me. And then I went to pick up my kid from nursery, and they didn't change my kid. They changed all the other kids, but not my kid. And eventually, over 2 or 3 years, you know, all these things build up, and you kind of feel like, I can't take it anymore. I'm going to go find a place that loves me. And all you're doing is really starting over with a new set of marbles. You know, marriage is, man, that's hard. There are a lot of offenses that happen in marriage. This week, Kathleen and I will celebrate our anniversary. It's pretty cool. We've been married for a really long time. No, 32 years. And, you know, when you're dating, stuff happens, right? Like, you know, a lot of times people have a story, you know, the first or second date, somebody shows up like 25 minutes late and, you know, why didn't you call? And there's this kind of first fight that happens and stuff. But it's like, after 32 years, it's like, that's nothing. That's nothing. There have been so many offenses. And at times that I've left stuff on the floor, I didn't call when I should have, or that I did something that I shouldn't have done, or I looked at somebody I shouldn't have looked at. All kinds of stuff. I don't mean to excuse those things. I'm just saying we're all so broken and we're so human. And over a long period of time, there are a lot of offenses that pile up. Unless we can forgive. And so this is an extreme idea, right? This is an extreme level of forgiveness, but it's also what we really need. We need to have this level of forgiveness to be able to have a meaningful level of love and a meaningful, beautiful level of relationship. One of the things that is kind of interesting about that verse that we looked at was your Bible might be a little bit different. Some Bibles will say 77 times. And some will say 70 times 7, so 490 times. So you can be really thankful that today I used the New International Version, or that would have been an even more painfully long illustration. And I guess the reason is because some of these translations are based upon the Greek Bible and some are based on the Hebrew, and for whatever reason they have a little difference there, or something's hard to translate. And so if your Bible says 77 in the footnotes, it probably says, or 7 times 70, and if it says 7 times 70 in the footnotes, it probably says 77. But again, we've got to think about, you know, just, I don't think that number matters, even though 490 versus 77 is a lot. We already saw that actually 77 is a lot, right? And we got to understand what Peter's trying to figure out here and what answer Jesus gives him. What Peter's trying to figure out is, okay, Jesus, as people of your kingdom, as the people of God, where are we going to draw this line? Because, you know, what we think is after one time, that would be enough. And some people say it's after three times. I'm going to guess, let's draw the line at seven. So where's Jesus draw the line? I think he's like, Peter, that's not how we roll. We're going to get rid of the line. I want you just to have an attitude of forgiveness and to keep forgiving and forgiving and forgiving and forgiving. That's how we're going to be. That's how I am with you. And that's how I want you to be with other people. And so we need to have this attitude of forgiveness of, man, I need to give people some mercy, give people some grace, some space to be able to grow and change and be who they are and be a little bit broken and still love them in the midst of that. For the bigger ones, it's a little bit harder to say, you know, oh, whatever, somebody chopped off your foot and you need to forgive them. Like, oh, okay, I forgive you. You know, it's like, that was a big deal. That was a big deal. You might even be able to say that. You might even be able to convince yourself for a little bit that, okay, yeah, I really forgive them. But it's a struggle. It's a battle. It's something you're going to have to work through. And I've shared a lot of different times about many years ago, I went through a divorce. And it was the most heartbreaking, wrenching thing in my life. And I thought I handled it pretty well at first, but eventually I really started dealing with anger and hatred and murder thoughts. I mean, whew, it was ugly. It was really ugly. And God freed me from that. God freed me from that. I mean, for me, that's the most miraculous thing that God's done for me other than my salvation. So that's really cool. But it wasn't like, you know, just overnight that happened. It was a journey of about 2 years of really wrestling and trying to figure out how to forgive someone who had hurt you deeply. And that might be small potatoes compared to what you've been through. You may have been through just horrible, unimaginable things. And I don't want to downplay that or act like, oh, that should be easy to forget. Just forgive them. I'm just saying, just get in on a journey of working through that, of trying to work through your forgiveness. So let me give you some ideas to start that journey. One is just to share your hurts with God, just to be honest. Hey, God, you know, this person did this thing to me or this thing happened to me, and that really hurt. Sometimes our offenses are actually with God. Like, God, why did you let that thing happen to me? And that's great to talk through that with God, and you can pray for comfort and healing and understanding in that hurt. Those are great things to pray for. To begin the journey, I think it's good just to pray that God would help you forgive. That's a great place to start. I was talking to Dove and Marty after church last week, and Marty just mentioned, you know, some people are so hurt, they're so wounded, that they can't even pray to start that journey. They can't even pray, God, help me forgive. And he said that he's learned that some people need to start with saying, God, help me get to that place where I'm willing to pray that I'll be able to forgive. And so it's just acknowledging before God, like, God, I'm not there. I do not want to forgive. I think we saw that a little bit with just kind of even Jonah's heart and what Jairus shared earlier. You know, Jonah is like, he's in a dark spot. And we can be at dark spots. But we need to grow. We need to, you know, put into practice the teachings of Jesus. And so we need to at least get to a spot where it's like, okay, God, help me at least begin that journey of applying some really hard things that you've called me into. And so that journey you know, if you think of being a disciple, disciples following him. And so Jesus is saying, hey, follow me into this. And you're like, oh, man, I don't know. Come on, follow me. You know, at least pray, Jesus, help me get to a point where I'll take your hand. I'll follow you. You could pray that God would help you understand your inner wrestle. And that's kind of an interesting thing to think about, even, you know, related to Dove's sermon last week. You know, I shared that I got angry at that guy that hit Dove. That's kind of interesting to think about because I didn't have any skin on the table there. Like, this is something that happened like 20 years ago. Dove seems okay with it now. He's worked through it. I just heard the story, and yet it brings anger up in my heart. Like, what's going on there? Is it like a sense of righteousness? Is it I want to stand up for Dove? Is it, you know, I don't know what's going on. I'm probably not even going to spend the time to try to think through that one. But it is helpful sometimes to think through, okay, why do we wrestle with what we wrestle with? What is going on deeper inside? Some of those answers you may never find, but I think sometimes on the journey that can be helpful to stop and to think about that. Another thing we can do is pore over Scripture. About 20 years ago, I wrote a parenting book, and I'm not a great writer or anything, but instead of having an editor, I had like 12 different people proof it for me. And one of the people wrote back, and he told me that I used the word pore wrong, because I had done P-O-U-R. And he said, no, it's P-O-R-E in that instance. I'm like, really? And I look it up, I've never heard of that, you know, and I look it up, and he's right. To pore over something, some of you are going to Google that now, that's not right. But to pore over something is like to study it, to investigate it, to really search it out. And he said the way that he remembers it is it's like the pores of your skin. Like if you would take a magnifying glass and look at the pores of your skin, and it's doing that with Scripture. And so we know that God has answers, right? We know that God wants to lead us into life. And we know that Scripture is the Word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the man or woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Well, I want to be thoroughly equipped for the work of forgiveness, as one example. And so what I want to do is I want to be like, okay, God, where is this? You can't just like look up in the Bible, oh, forgiveness, okay, well, everything's right here. Sometimes it's, you have to pore over Scripture, you study it, and that process probably isn't going to take 30 minutes. It's like 30 minutes every day for maybe a year, you know, and then you're reading through and you're like, oh, wow. The light comes on. It's like, I get it. I get it. God reveals something to you or about the other person, or, you know, it's like it comes alive. And, oh, man, that's just such an amazing thing. So I want to encourage you on that journey of poring over Scripture. Take any Scripture that God gives you, you meditate on it, you think about it, maybe you write it out, you stick it on your steering wheel, stick it on your mirror, put it someplace you keep seeing it and thinking about it. I encourage you to memorize verses that are related. On your handout there, there are a bunch of verses related to forgiveness. You could memorize those. That would be a great start. What I've found in memorization is it doesn't typically help me right away. It's not like I memorize a verse, like, oh, I should forgive. It's like, okay, that's easy now. It doesn't work that way. But for me, what's happened is I memorize a verse, and then a couple of years later, it's like in my toolbox, and God calls it to mind. And it's like, oh, yeah. Okay, I get it now. And there are all these truths of God that are like rumbling around in your head that are useful for all kinds of different situations. And that's why I would really encourage you to sign up for Memory Madness. If you're a kid or an adult or whatever other options there are, you know, sign up. Sign up, and it's so easy, like 10 verses in 10 weeks, only 30 verses a year. It's so simple. And I know I don't have a great memory, so I can appreciate if that's hard for you. If there's anything you can memorize, then you can memorize that. If you can quote a line from a TV show or a movie, or if you can tell me a phone number, you know, even little kids, sometimes we think, ah, you know, this is too hard for them. Man, they have such great memories. They can remember all kinds of things. It's just a matter of repetition. And so in addition to that, if you sign up today, you get a free marble. Okay, so anyway, so you can do that with forgiveness, and then you can meditate on those verses as they rumble around in your head. Get counsel from others who have forgiven great wounds. I think that's really helpful sometimes. I know I have things that I would love to share with you. Dove and I both have some teachings. There are links to those on your handout there. There's also links on this sermon on the website if you would like to just pursue this journey and hear other thoughts. Again, it's not like you're going to listen to a message from me and be like, oh, that's everything I needed to hear. You know, maybe you'll just get one little nugget that'll be helpful, and it'll just help you on that journey. Also, there's a link to a talk by Corrie Ten Boom, who was a POW in Nazi Germany. And her sister died there in the prison camp, and she was able to forgive one of the guards. It's like, man, what a powerful story. And so if you want to listen to that, that's also linked on your handout and on the website. And then the last thing is just to seek to understand the mercy you've been shown. And the reason I want to end on this one is because this is the other thing that Jesus says in Matthew 18 related to forgiveness. So he tells that we should forgive 77 times. And he doesn't just leave it there, but then he shares a little story. I'd like to just read that with you guys. So verse 23, it says, Jesus says, therefore the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began to settle, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children, all that he had, be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me, and I will pay it back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said, I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he had owed, because what he did was so wrong. So when I was really wrestling through forgiveness, this verse was one of the things that helped me, but at first it was very confusing to me. Because I understood that the one guy had been forgiven a great debt, and then he went out and didn't forgive somebody else who genuinely owed him something. And I think in forgiveness, it's really easy to get caught up in, yeah, but what's right and what's fair? So put this in our day and age. So imagine you got in a car wreck a couple years ago, and you had all these medical bills, and you owed $40,000. And the hospital keeps calling you up, like, when are you going to pay? When are you going to pay? When are you going to pay? And you're like, I can't. I'm just barely skimping by. Come on, when are you going to pay? When are you going to pay? When are you going to? I can't. I don't have any money. I can declare bankruptcy, but that's about it. You know, I can't do anything for you. Okay, that's fine. We'll just write it off. Like, what? Really? Yep, we're just going to write it off. I'll send this in. We'll get it approved. We'll send you a letter to confirm it. And yeah, you should be good to go. Yes. You know, like score. But you did some work for somebody, and they still owe you $400. Well, just because the hospital forgave you doesn't mean that the person that owes you $400 is off the hook, right? They still owe you. I mean, that's where we get caught up in the justice, and that's where I was. I'm like, okay, I kind of understand the big picture here, but it's not fair. The second situation, just because he was forgiven doesn't mean he has to forgive somebody else. What's up with that? Oh, man, I had to wrestle with God for a long time over that. And God really had to free me from just being concerned about what's fair and being concerned about justice and open my eyes and help me to see that big picture and to see that he had forgiven me so much and that what somebody else owed me was so insignificant. But their offenses were so small compared to my offenses against God. I heard a quote one time where somebody said that we are far more similar to Hitler than we are to Jesus Christ. Wow. Man, I mean, that's so true. It's like, God, we're so far from you. You're perfect, and I am not anywhere close to perfect. I have all kinds of bad actions and thoughts and deeds, and yet Jesus went to the cross for me and forgave me and showed me mercy. And I think when we really understand that, that helps us to show mercy to somebody else. You know, I was thinking about years ago, we would go to the restaurant. Sometimes we had 8 kids, and we would go to the restaurant. I think sometimes people just took pity on us, like, oh, look at that family with 8 kids. Like, wow. And every once in a while, somebody would just pay for our meal, which was kind of cool. And so typically, we would be all done with the meal, and the waitress would come up and said, hey, you know, that table that was sitting over there, they left, but they paid for your meal. And you're like, yes! That waitress always got a big tip. Why? Because she deserved it? No, she didn't do anything. She might have even already been tipped by the other person. It's just because we're rejoicing. It's like, oh, we've been shown grace and mercy. And so we wanted to turn around and do that for somebody else. And I don't know if you'll totally get that here in this couple of minutes, but if we could understand that, if we can really grasp what Jesus has done for us, that would help us to be able to show mercy to one another, even with these big offenses. And that's what Jesus shared. And that's one of the things I think Jesus would think would be really helpful for us if we really grasp the mercy we've been shown. So I hope that's helpful as you start that journey. And again, I guess the things I would encourage you in, just the 2 things. One would be to have this attitude of forgiveness. That's how we're putting into practice the teachings of Jesus. And then the other thing would be to be willing to begin a journey of forgiveness in the harder things. And then I think we'll really experience life from God in this area. And when we don't forgive, usually it doesn't really affect the person we're angry with that much. What it really does is it eats at us and affects all our relationships, and we won't let anybody get close. And so it robs us of the life and love that we should be getting in our other relationships. So let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for this time here. God, we thank you just for your many different teachings on so many different subjects. And we pray, God, that you would just help us to apply these things. And God, that you would just help us to be able to forgive, especially, I guess, both those things, to be able to forgive the big things, but also to be able to just grow in having this attitude of daily forgiveness within our marriages and relationships and workplaces. Help us to get rid of the line and to be imitators of you, how you showed us forgiveness and mercy just because we needed it, not because we deserved it. So we love you and thank you for this time here. In Jesus' name, amen.